All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig. Welcome back to another episode of Wheel Wednesday Podcast. You can see I'm flying solo this time. Things happen, and we're still committed to bringing you a podcast. So welcome back. Nice to have you here. If you're coming over from the lives, well, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. I know this kind of feels a little bit like a news broadcasting type thing, and I guess today it kind of is fitting. For those that were on the lives, you know that I said that we're going to be talking about the RPM Act a little bit. I am bringing a lot of personal opinion to this one, so try to keep that in mind. This is not all Koenig speaking, and I want to be very clear that a lot of these opinions are my own personal opinions, because I think it's very difficult for this subject to be something that is solely at the discretion of a company. Although I will say that when we start to get into this, you're going to understand that Koenig does, you know, obviously care substantially about this issue. So I want to get into it. The RPM Act is something that if you have been paying attention to a lot of different YouTubers and to a lot of automotive people that are in the loop and in the circle, you've heard about it. You've seen it. You've heard people talk about it. If you're into SEMA, you know that they have been pushing heavily on this topic about the RPM Act and what is its point, what does it do, and trying to get you to urge your senators and your local legislators to help you campaign for this. And it's really important, you know, for our industry that we do. Now, I want to start off by saying a couple things. The first thing is I want everybody to know that I do care about our environment, and I think that most people do, right? So I know that this is like one of those things that really borders that, and people feel that this is an attack on the environment, that are really on the environmental side. And I would say that the people that are doing that are really looking at this with a very, I believe, a very short-sighted point of view. And there are so many industries and so many different type of pollutants out there that can actually damage the environment, that when you start looking at the amount that some of these race cars make is so minuscule compared. And what you're talking about besides the financial impact, yes, is there a, you know, almost $2 billion industry behind this that could essentially be removed just by a single enforcement of an act? There is. You know, we're not necessarily on the tuning side of it, but it affects directly the type of people that would get involved in motorsport. But this is also a blatant attack on people that want to compete with vehicles that are using internal combustion engines for the use of racing and motorsport. This is an attack that would make it so that the EPA would be able to enforce a rule to prohibit you from tuning or modifying a vehicle for the use of competition. Now look, there are a lot of pros and cons to all this stuff, and I acknowledge that. Not trying to give you any lip about what, you know, that there might be some impact on the environment. But what I will say is that when you start to look at the amount of events that are happening through the U.S., that the amount of vehicles that are converting over to race cars for competition use, and what that effect may be just on the Clean Air Act, you have city buses and fleets of vehicles out there that are far more damaging, that their job is to drive 24/7. And we're talking about race cars? Look, I have read so much, and what we're talking about here is being able to alter the ability of a Clean Air Act so that it permits people that are using vehicles for tuning and for the competitive nature of motorsports to continue to enjoy motorsports. You know, I've had a lot of debate and a lot of conversations with people throughout our industry. This is not something that's new to our industry. This has probably been going on since about 2015. It's kind of all in the same thing. This has to do with the Clean Air Act bill, which obviously, you know, I support. I think that the environment thing is real. You know, global warming and in respect is real. Again, personal opinion. But now we're talking about impacts, and there's so many things that have impact on this. And race cars, like race cars? You know, I read an article, and it was through the Union of Concerned Scientists. And the author, and I don't really want to mention them because I feel like I'm not trying to attack them. I'm just trying to relate some information. But their opinion and their point of view was that SEMA's entire thing was obviously to protect an industry and to basically say it's okay for people just to run rampant and do whatever they want by modifying ECUs and cars and different things. And there's some points in there that I think just weren't considered from a vehicle standpoint. Now, some of these things are going to become irrelevant as vehicles go electric, right? This is really about internal combustion engines. But, you know, you have to think, like, how far could this possibly go down the peak, right? Like, how far could this go down the road? I mean, we start thinking about electric vehicles, and now what if you start playing with battery management systems, right? We had Lawson from AEM on not too long ago, and they're talking about you know, battery management systems and the ability to tune these electric vehicles. And so when we go that step, is it going to be an attack on those vehicles because they modified how quickly the battery use is getting, you know, taken up because the vehicle, so you can get the vehicle to, you know, react faster or move faster? Or are we talking about the fact that it's going to take more electricity to be able to make that battery recharge more times? I mean, I just don't know where it stops. And again, that's the far end of the spectrum. I get it. But I want to just go through some of these points. And Alex, I'm going to ask you just to scroll down a little bit. And some of these points, you know, it basically says, you know, the Clean Air Act and et cetera, et cetera. And so where they start to get in is they basically start to get into the Clean Air Act. States clearly that it's prohibitive for any person to manufacture or sell or offer or sell or install any part or component intended for use with as part of a motor vehicle or motor vehicle engine where a principal effect of the part or component is to bypass, defeat, render inoperative any emissions control devices. There's no magical exemption for different uses of a certified motor vehicle. So let's go down a little bit on that. Basically the point of his argument is that SEMA's whole thing is that we want a loophole that basically says that if you are using your vehicle for motorsports or for motor, you know, whatever it may be, that it's okay for anyone to manufacture a device that would defeat the ECU and et cetera. So basically, he says, you know, that basically what this means is the EPA would no longer be able to explicitly target manufacturers who sell these products online. These aftermarket providers would be able to instead hide behind a perpetrated belief that a purchaser was going to modify their vehicle into a competition vehicle. It pushes enforcement away from the primary source of the problem, manufacturers selling devices to defeat devices to the masses, and immediately limits investigation and enforcement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He starts to say things about the obscurity of the bills like this And the reason why the RPM Max keep coming back is all because of money and stuff like that. And so here's some things. I think, and I'm speaking this as an enthusiast, right? I think the problem with this whole situation is that people are so focused on, you know, especially this person. I mean, cars, I mean, I think, you know, Evan Shanks really did a good thing. We have no affiliation with Evan, but it was just a real intimate look. And I, you know, I watched so many people talking about this topic, and he really hit home about how he felt about cars. And I feel the same way. Like, cars have been my life, and they've led to me having a job here, and they've led to me having, you know, a family that has allowed it to grow, and me to buy houses, and every day I am blessed to work in an industry where I'm surrounded by something that I love. And I think that there's a lot of other industries around there, you know, and to us, this is the equivalent of being a chef or a foodie and being told that you're only allowed to, you know, you can't actually cook the food. You can only eat it in its raw form. You know, I know that seems like really a basic thing, but like, cars to me are everything. They're not, it's not some things. It's not just what we do. It's what I obsess about almost 24 hours a day. And if you want to ask anybody if I'm lying, ask my wife. I mean, she'll tell you that my entire pursuit in life after my kids and my wife is, you know, to be able to build cool stuff and play with cars, and the amount of enjoyment and pieces that come from my life with cars is, you know, is unmeasurable. And to take all that away, and so now we're talking about tuning devices. You know, this whole thing about, you know, tuning devices, you're taking away motorsports. I listened to an interview that happened a while back, and I'm trying to remember the senator's name. It was Hudson. Anyhow, Representative Hudson, he basically was talking to the person that was at the head of the EPA at one point. And this is all covered in a video that the Life of Palos had put up. Again, no affiliation, but they did a really good job in summing everything up and what the difference is, and what the whole process, you know, what the whole RPM Act is about, what we're fighting for. And, you know, the idea that, you know, race cars and some of your favorite series, she kept citing NASCAR, and there's so many more professional racing aside from NASCAR, and then there's so many other grassroots series that would just go away. Your favorite motorsports would just go away. There's no implicit change there, or there's no implicit allowance for these vehicles to be used. And he's saying that people are hiding behind it just for money. I can imagine that people can make that argument at some point, like, motor, you know, cars are living too. So obviously that would be a hit if you couldn't use them or modify them in, you know, for a lot of people, they may leave that side of the segment. But what about for me as an enthusiast? What about for the person that has gotten his enjoyment and not just enjoyment, but like my entire livelihood for competing with vehicles and racing vehicles? And, you know, and what about all the businesses out there, the Steph Papadakis's of the world, that their whole life has been devoted towards building these vehicles and being able to make race cars and build race teams and race? That should all go away. And is the footprint of this industry really that condemned, that's bad on the environment? I can't measure it, right? I can't measure it, but I understand that this author's point when he says that, you know, he's basically saying that the catch here is that all these manufacturers that could sell tuning products, you know, and here, all right, so let's, I don't want to separate this. I've done plenty of tuning in my day. I'm not going to tell you I'm the top tuner, that's for sure. But I know a lot of people who are. So let's talk about this real quick. When we start talking about tuning vehicles, when we start talking about defeat devices, this isn't always a fair name. Because not all devices are defeat devices. When you start tuning vehicles, there's adjustability, right? No doubt. Can you make a car more efficient? Yes. Can you make a car, I guess, run richer? Yes. But you have to understand that when have we ever had anything? I think about this. Maybe I'm far too mechanical for this. And I had a great conversation. I feel bad if he's going to be upset that I'm calling him out, but not calling him out. I had a great conversation the other day with Vinny Ten. He's a personal friend of mine. I've known him for, over 15 years. And he's just so knowledgeable when it comes down to engine building and tuning. And he's worked on factory race programs. He's worked on, so many different things. Everybody knows him for the work he's done on the 2JZ and racing his Supra. Obviously, there's that big crash that everybody had seen. Additionally, he was one of the first to bring the Zs, into some crazy record times, right? I mean 350Z, so the VQ engines. So he just has such an impeccable understanding and knowledge of tuning, and he's come from everything before fuel injection too, right? So he's come from that school of tuning carburetors and valve adjustments and all these different things. Listen, from an internal combustion engine point, he brought up such a good point. You know, we were having this conversation about defeat devices, and he said that, he was bringing the point that there's so much more than a defeat device, right? This isn't just about defeating, emissions. This is about adjusting and going for efficiency. Now, everybody has a different goal when they go for efficiency, right? Granted. But what about the fact that, have you ever seen a piece of equipment, anything in your life, that as it's aging doesn't have tolerances that start to fall, doesn't have things that start to wear, that need to be put back into time or adjusted? But mechanical moving parts are that way. Electric engines may be very different, but mechanical cars, internal combustion engines, have that. So how come we're not considering that? How come, and he brought this up so well, and I really should have asked him to come on to today's podcast, but how come we're not considering the fact that timing chains are going to have a little bit of stretch, that piston-to-wall clearances are going to change, carbon buildup on pistons? There's so many different things that are going to change to an internal combustion engine as it wears, as it gets older. So we're just not going to allow for the adjustment of that? You know, he brought up such a good point when he started talking about it. He said, I just think about so many times, like everybody, they don't know. Listen, if you don't know anything about cars, you know about the fact that you have your, you could probably remember your dad, your grandfather, or somebody that you knew close back in the day. And maybe some of you were younger, so it's not going to apply. But back in the day, and they'd be out there adjusting the carburetor or adjusting the valve lash and trying to get the car to run better, changing spark plugs. I mean, why do you do any of these things? Because they're wear items. They wear. So you mean there's not ever supposed to be anybody that's allowed to calibrate or recalibrate vehicles? This is the standard. We're hoping that an O2 sensor is enough to constantly correct everything wrong in an internal combustion engine? Are we going to get to a point where you're going to get to X amount of miles and we're just going to throw these cars away? So is it possible that there's tuning devices that need to be out there that aren't defeat devices that still allow people adjustability? I just think that when people start talking about things like this RPM Act and they're not a car enthusiast or they don't have a really integral knowledge, although I think this author did, I really start thinking about, are we talking about two different issues? It just seems like all things are not considered. And when you're going to be in charge of making laws and bills and things that are going to be enforceable that not only affect people's passions and their livelihoods, but you're not a car person, or you're not bringing on really technical car people from different segments to at least have a conversation about what the understanding needs to be before you go and flip these laws. It's not so simple. And for the person that here is basically saying that this whole thing is just about money, I get it. Like, I understand where they're coming from. There is a lot of livelihoods that are at stake here. Again, I think we're up to about a $2 billion business, a $2 billion industry when it comes down to cars. But, you know, I remember, you know, the EPA, and, you know, and I think about this from our government. Clean air is important, but isn't there some kind of medium where things should be reached so that we don't kill not only livelihoods and passions? And I mean, at what point, you know, I hear all these people talking about freedoms and you know, we've talked about with gun control rights and different things. I just feel like it's such a slippery slope when we start getting into outlawing total industries. And I understand maybe that's not what's happening here, but, you know, I think motorsports and the use of motorsports is an important part. I don't know. I started to print all this stuff out. This is what I'll say. A lot of this is my personal opinion. It's not Koenig's personal opinion. I clearly acknowledge that. I'm not looking to have arguments with people. I think everybody's allowed to have an opinion, and I certainly understand the nature of how important it is to us as a people to protect our planet. I just think about the impact that each thing may have, and feel that there's so many things that are avoided in policing that probably do have a major impact, and then we're going to go after race cars. Like, do you know what the percentage of people that modify cars is? It's like, but I mean, look, I guess no excuse, right? I mean, I'm not the person to go ahead and compete this, but I will say that, you know, this country is made of laws, and you're allowed to vote, and that's what, you know, we've seen so much passion about over the past, you know, I don't want to say 4 years, 5 years, but you, everybody, regardless of which side you're on, you is about voting. And this is, you know, you get the consequences of what you vote for. And that goes on both sides. And this law and this act is part of that legislative process. So you have a choice. Again, not criticizing anybody. If you feel that that this is something that is damaging, then that's your personal belief, and I support that. But if you are for race cars, if you're for cars, this is how you do it. You use the tools that are available to you, and SEMA has done an excellent job in creating tools that are available to you. Go just Google SEMA RPM Act, and you'll get to a webpage. And when you get to that webpage, what you're going to find is an explanation. They're going to tell you all about the RPM Act. They're going to tell you why they're looking for a reverse on the EPA's interpretation that doesn't allow for motor vehicles designed for street use, including a car, truck, or motor vehicle that can be converted into a dedicated race car. They're going to talk to you about a bunch of different things. And in addition to that, they're going to give you a link at the bottom. And the link at the bottom is going to allow you to click on it, and it will give you the simplest 2-second piece of your time where you can put your email address in, put your name in, put your zip code in, and hit submit, and it will send an email to your local senators to let them know that you support the RPM Act and everything that it stands for. And I, you know, look, I can't stress this enough. If you if this is part of your livelihood, if this is part of your passion, if cars for you, like they are for me, are something that I can't live without, if modifying vehicles, not for the sake of screwing up the environment. I mean, I drove my car 200 miles last year. But for the sake of being able to actually tune and physically, like, make something better, more efficient than it was when you started. And I know that there's a lot of debate whether that's possible or not. Then what I would say is that you need to consider signing this petition and making sure that you put your name out there and send these senators a message. Let them know that this is important to you. And as a voting, as a U.S. citizen, as a taxpayer, as one of their constituents, that you support this bill and you want them to consider supporting it as well. That's why we hire, that's why we elect these officials, to represent your needs, to represent your wants. So it's time for us to voice those wants. You know, I don't know. This is a tough thing because, again, I'm supportive of the environment. I do believe these things are real. I don't believe this is a fake deal. But, you know, I think there's a lot of greater good there. And I think that the ability to think of vehicles as a wear item and be able to make them efficient again and adjust them to be optimal should exist regardless. Aren't there supposed to be some sort of calibration shops where they can bring things back to efficiency? Don't we believe that things degrade over time? Is it done just by simply changing parts out? These are all things for you to consider. Anyhow, that was my spiel. That was my rant. That's what I got. Did we cover it? Did we get everything through there? I think, right? So, from my personal opinion, I can't say enough how important I think it is for you to, if you're a car person, to head over to SEMA's website, read what they have to say, maybe read the Clean Air Act bill, see which side you're on, and then when you pick a side, maybe tell your senator either way. I'm not going to tell you what to do. This is a free country. You're allowed to do whatever you want. Anyhow, with that said, let's get to some lighter stuff. We obviously have another piece of content coming out on Friday, so make sure you check that out. Also, make sure you subscribe to our channel. I know there's a lot of you that come here to listen to the podcast, or I guess a lot is a relative thing. But a lot of people come here to, you know, check random things out or get some information. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, wheel tech and different things. We try not to be too pushy about obviously our particular product. And you know, we continue to do things like this. And we hope that you enjoy them. But also, you know, having you subscribe and click that notification bell so that you know what's going on and what we're up to and kind of what the industry is up to and, you know, some cool stuff. You know, I think that's worth a little click, you know? So check that out. Make sure you come back next Friday. Again, we go live on Instagram and Facebook 2 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays. And we also come here every Wednesday and at 3 p.m. Eastern and we do our podcast. You can also catch it on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, thanks to Luis. So, you know, we're out there. Real quick before we go, just make slide that off for me if you wouldn't mind. And let's just make sure that there's no comments that I missed. Let's see. I love your wheels. Thank you. And good stuff. Well, anyhow, for those of you who watch this podcast and you actually made it to this point, I thank you quite a bit. If you made it to this point, comment down and said you finished. And that's it. That's what it is. Give this some thought. Do your homework. Make sure you know which side of this thing you're on. And, you know, the one thing I think I'll leave with is for those that are saying that this is solely about money, it's not. You know, I think about the Vinny Tens of the world. I think about Jason Whitfields. I think about Stephen Papadakis's. I think about all the pro-am drivers and all the grassroots racers that are out there that literally work all week long just for the chance of working on their car all night throughout the week just to go to the racetrack and spend, what, maybe a total of an hour on track for the weekend? I just think, you know, when you look at this stuff, I mean, what 1% of the driving population, if that's even an accurate figure, modify their vehicles? Is this where we're going to attack? I don't know. For you to decide. Anyhow, thanks for tuning in. And that's it. We will catch you on the next one. Take care.